This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Gregory Rust describes himself as a cultural chameleon. He studied photography while getting a bachelor's degree in anthropology and has done an extensive photographic study on Native American culture. He's also traveled around the world, documenting people and places very different from his rural Kentucky home. Now he's assembled many of those photographs in a book called Light, Color, Culture. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss his book and his work is photographer Gregory Rust. Welcome, Greg.
Oh, thank you, Lucy. I appreciate being here.
Well, we're glad to have you. You studied, as I mentioned, photography while earning a bachelor's degree in anthropology at NKU. Tell us how those two interests became so intertwined for you.
Well, I really wanted to be an anthropologist, so I thought, well, photography would be a good way to work with field work, etc. So I did some work with Native Americans back in the 70s and took a bunch of photographs, wrote a paper, and I found out that my photography was much more better received than my paper. So photography not only gave me an avenue to get a job right out of college, but I was pretty good at it. So I followed my passion.
There you go. And what is your goal when you create these photographs?
The big thing about this is this book is light, color, culture. It is emphasizing light and color as the photographic aspect of it, but then the cultural aspect is where the anthropology comes in. I like to go out and view other cultures in a dignified and respectful manner. So many times I see photographers travel to developing countries, and it's real easy to go to a country where it's poor and impoverished to make them look bad. To me, it's very important to go in and show those people with dignity and respect. And that's what I wanted to accomplish with this book.
Mm. It's kind of whether you focus on the strengths or the problematic areas, I guess.
Yes, because it's so overwhelming when you go into countries like Nicaragua, Nepal, El Salvador, some of the poorer countries in the world, and that's what smacks you in the face. But then when you get to know the people, and I was fortunate enough to live with families, be invited into their houses, share some of their cultural events, you see how happy and wonderful their culture is, and you learn to appreciate them much more.
Yeah. Your book, Light, Color, Culture, has photographs from all over the world. What got you interested in travel and documenting your travels as you do?
That's kind of interesting. I spent 36 years as director for photography at Xavier. And at Xavier, they had programs that went abroad. And I would always try to finagle my way into one of those programs so I could go and document what the students were doing in those exhibitions. But then every morning and every evening, I would do my own photography. And I also started to reach out to other nonprofits, and they would invite me along, like to Guatemala. I went to the Dominican Republic with Jose Rio, one of the Reds, and whenever I got the opportunity, the idea of traveling and making photos is what really gets my passion going.
This will be a little tricky because we're on the radio, but I want to talk about some of the photographs in your book that really struck me. You have photographs, I'm looking here, from Guatemala on pages 16 and 17, where you have people at work. And these reminded me of paintings that I see in museums that capture the dignity of work. And you don't see the people's faces in these particular photos, but you can see how hard they're working. How important is it to capture scenes like that when you're in a new place?
I was very interested in getting the everyday life bit. I wanted to blend in. That's where it comes back to being a cultural chameleon. To me, that just means to get there, blend in, and the best way to learn a culture is to listen and to observe. Don't go in like a paparazzi, cameras flying. I would go into an area, sit down, and let the area come to me and watch it happen. I didn't want them to be even really aware I was there. It was much better if I blended into the background.
And our listeners won't know this by listening to you, but you're a white man. How has that come into play when you're doing your work? You started your career at a time of activism for Indigenous people in the 1970s. Has that ever been a factor for you, or how do you handle that when maybe you look different from all the people you're photographing?
Well, and that can be problematic because we're not always. I'm 6'4", towering white guy with blondish hair, so I would stick out. So it was important for me to go in and see how the people wanted to be photographed. Photographers always take photos, take. And that's something that I wanted to get away from. So whenever I did visit these countries, I would always make sure that they've got photos back from me, that I would get photos in to support indigenous children in the work, you know, or women in the workplace, just trying to give back, because the taking aspect, especially when you're abroad, is so stereotypical of what they think of Americans.
Mm. What kind of connection are you trying to create between your photos and the people who are looking at them?
I really want people to look at the imagery and, one, see the beauty of the light and the color. Because the great part of this, for me, for putting this book together, is that it's not put into chapters from country to country to country. What I did in my editing process, I found images that I liked, and then I would pair them up with an image from another country. So you may see a picture from Guatemala paired up from a picture from Ghana, or you might see a picture from anywhere in the world, Peru, paired up with a picture from New Mexico. It was the relation of the imagery, and that's what really makes it in a book format interesting, because one picture on one side relates to a picture on the other side. It has nothing to do with where it is in the world.
Yeah. I want to look at some other pictures in your book. These are of young people, pictures of children. And this is from Ghana. This is from Guatemala. These children are clearly looking at the camera, but they're not cheesing it up. They're not smiling real big. How important is it? I mean, I know it seems like you're trying to get real candid photography. I wonder how you approach that.
Yes. I did not pose any of the photos in the book. You're going to see a lot of people obviously looking right at the camera, but it was their reaction to me as the 6-foot European guy in their community, because a lot of these countries, I was a foot and a half taller than everybody around me. So people would look at me. So their reaction to looking at me is how they reacted to the camera. I didn't pose them, but a lot of them look like I would have posed them, because they're so much almost like a studio shot out on the streets.
Yeah, there really is. And the light is really beautiful, the way you capture these expressions. You wrote, by exploring light and color across a variety of cultural landscapes, I hope to capture and share glimpses of the spirit that unites us all. Tell me more about what you mean by that.
Well, it was, again, what I wanted to do was not to show these people as radically different, because one of the things that really grated me was when people refer to these countries as third world. That's fading out a bit, but that just shows how egocentric we are to say that these people were two worlds less than us. And that's why I want to make people see these images in dignity and respect for the people who are in them, and not look at them as different, but as fellow humans.
And that's what that humanity is, what you believe unites us, just kind of that shared humanity?
Yes. I mean, when you're living with families, I mean, every family that I was living with was extremely poor, but they were as happy as can be, happy, carefree. It was the normal things of life, what you had for dinner, what you were sharing, the joy of, you know, enjoying each other, which is something we get away from a little bit more now with our social media and always being on the phone. It was so refreshing for me to be in a place where I didn't have cell service. It was like I would text my wife, all right, I'm going in. I'll see you in about a week.
Wow. Yeah, kind of get to disconnect from all that stuff that fills our lives here and really focus on what you're doing there.
Right, right.
You took the photos in your book between 1997 and 2018. Talk a bit about how you grew as a photographer and even as a person during that time. Did the way you viewed the people and places you photographed change over those years?
Well, yes, of course I would have grown, because whenever I went into these places, I listened to what they had to say. I like to see how they viewed the world. So I always would encourage people, if you can, to get out of your safe places. Go to some place that's so, is different than yourself. I mean, Mark Twain once said, travel is the death of bigotry and prejudice. And that's true, because you get out there and all of a sudden you see people the way they are, and that teaches you that the way you are isn't the way everybody else in the world is.
Or maybe even should be. Yeah. You have some other photos in your book that are scenes of celebration. You know, they're joyful dancing, and there's a person getting married. You can see someone holding this beautiful long train and veil. How important is it to kind of be able to be a fly on the wall and capture those moments of joy when you're in a new place, too?
That's imperative, just to show the happiness in these places. Where, I mean, I could be making a photo where they're singing and dancing, and right behind me is an open sewer and garbage piled up. And that's what I didn't want to have, the open sewer and garbage. I wanted to show the people rejoicing and celebrating life.
Yeah. You have some pictures, too. I'm not flipping to them right away, of some children who are involved in sports, you know, and those I loved, because they do remind me of those cheesy little kid pictures where you go up and they got their arms around each other and they're smiling real big and you can tell they've just played some kind of baseball or something. It must have been fun to capture those scenes.
Well, yeah, the part of my life was I was a photographer for the Reds for 32 years, and the Bengals for 25. So sports photography has always been a huge part of my life. I actually made money in that. So
that's important.
That was important. So sports, when I saw people doing sports in these other countries, it was just natural for me to gravitate to those areas, to be at a soccer field, be a kids playing sock ball in the street with a homemade bat and a ball. That's a passion of mine, too.
Yeah, sock ball, that's what that is. I knew it wasn't the kind of baseball I see at the sporting goods stores, but I didn't know what that was in that picture.
Yeah, it was a homemade ball that was wrapped around the core with some cloth and maybe some string.
That's got to make a fun sound when you hit it.
Yeah, it was in Nicaragua. You know, that's an interesting place for baseball, because that's where Roberto Clemente had perished, going down there to help those people.
Yeah.
And to this day, some of that was back in the 70s, there was a huge earthquake. And to this day, there's still rubble from that earthquake. They've never recovered.
Mm. So our country has so many issues that divide us within the United States and that divide us from other parts of the world. What role do you think a book like yours can play when it comes to addressing those divisions?
Well, really, just to be able to see other people in their own, with their own families, eating, drinking, smiling, celebrating, enjoying sports, doing day-to-day activities just like we do. But, you know, they may be eating something that you would never think of eating, or, you know, they're dressed in a way that people don't like their headgear, or people don't like the way they look, just because they're different. And the reality is that our differences are pretty slim. It's our politics that tends to be what's dividing us.
Hmm. And you think we could focus a little bit more on those things we have in common?
Well, most definitely. Like I always say, my proudest achievement is being accepted by the Cheyenne tribe in Montana. The Native Americans have been in this country. It's been genocide. It's been cultural genocide. Their culture, their land, their language, everything was tried to be taken away from them, but they have survived. So for me to be accepted and welcomed into the Cheyenne Reservation, and I actually feel they are family to me.
Hmm.
And people will always say to me, well, why are you so enamored with Native American culture? And it's, and I say, well, I might be European out front, but my heart is Cheyenne. And to prove that, when I was 65, I got a tattoo with permission from the tribe of their symbol, the Morning Star, over my heart.
You've got some beautiful tribal pictures in this book, too. Well, I've been talking with photographer Gregory Rust. His book is called Light Color Culture, and it includes photos he created between 1997 and 2018 during his travels. Thank you so much for your time today, Greg.
Thank you, Lucy. It's great being with you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical directors today are Derek Smith and Ella Rowan. If you miss our program live, you can subscribe to Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.